right, I want to welcome everybody to the next episode of Houston and Scruggs. Today, I kind of want to go ahead and jump into this. Normally, we're going to wait usually a week before we do another show, but I've got so many different ideas, and so does Scruggs, and we just really want to get a lot of this out in the open. Can you hear me all right?
I'm fine.
Okay. I just want to make sure. Now, today's episode is about the Gucci situation, and I want to make sure, you know, a lot of people understand where a lot of this comes from. So I'll basically just jump right into it. For people that don't know that are listening to this podcast, a few weeks back, they had an issue where Gucci came out with this sweater that was all black and it had red lips on it that came up to your mouth. It's a turtleneck. And it was an issue because it resembles blackface, which is, you know, racially charged. And I don't know. A lot of people have been really upset about it, and they have every right to. And a lot of celebrities, especially rappers who wear Gucci, are boycotting it. Have you heard about all this, Scruggs?
I've heard. I haven't really heard a whole lot, but I've seen Soulja Boy on his page, you know, saying stuff about Gucci, and he ain't going back to him. You know, they sent him some stuff and, you know, apologized to him about it, said it was a misunderstanding, you know, trying to get him to, I guess, you know, switch back. And I've heard about it, and I didn't really understand what the big deal was at first, but, I mean, I guess for a lot, you know, that it was a bigger deal than what I initially thought it was. So,
well,
you know.
The issue is that this is just a personal opinion of mine. I don't think these companies, because Prada had something where they were, it was a, like, it was on like a woman's handbag. It was like a resembling of a black face. It looked like a little, I don't know what it was. It was like a little thing hanging off that resembled black face. It was a face with red lips. And I, you know, and these companies are consistently doing this, and I don't think it's anybody there that's racist. I just think it's people that are culturally insensitive, if that makes sense. I think they're blinded to it, and they're not paying attention. Why? Because it doesn't affect them. Makes
sense?
And
it makes sense.
And it's, you know, Spike Lee was just talking about how he said he's not wearing Gucci until they hire black people that can look through this stuff. And I understand where he's coming from, because you have so many processes to go through before things are approved. You have to go through a few people just for it to say approved. Let's go ahead and put it on our line to sell.
Right.
So I can break it down a little even more. You have what they do when it comes to design is people come up with ideas, right? And what they do is they have an artist or a designer draw what they want to, you know, kind of see. So you got a person drawing it, showing to somebody. They say, okay, I like that. Let's make it. So you have at least one to two people, you know, sewing the sweatshirt, putting the design on it. Then you have a supervisor or a head designer that approves it. And then you have like a department supervisor that says, okay, let's put it on the line. So to break that down, you've got 6 to 8 people approving this before they put it out on the line. So you're telling me that 6 to 8 people look at this and nobody sees a problem? That's
right.
What I don't understand. And that's why I don't think it's someone that's in there that's racist. I don't think there's a Klansman in there with a Klansman hat on going, approved. Yes, let's approve that. I don't want black people buying this stuff anymore. I don't think it's nothing like that. I just think it's people that aren't paying attention what the fuck they're doing. So I say that to say this. They're doing stuff just to please other people so they can continue to get a paycheck. But the people buying this stuff are the ones that are paying your salaries, putting food on your table, feeding your families, helping you take trips, and living the life you want to live, but you're not catering to them. Now, I know Gucci is a high-end designer company, and they cater to the majority. Now, I know I've heard, now I'm not 100% sure about this, but I heard they have like a division that focuses on the minorities, in this case black people, on stuff to wear and stuff like that, that makes clothes for them or accessories and stuff like that. And I just don't think they're doing what they're doing to continue to have people buy from them that are not only have the money, but at the same time who are going to make the company profit based off their ignorance.
Well, I mean, yeah, and I understand that. And I mean, you know, you cater to me, I mean, to be honest, I mean, what exactly would it help, you know, if these people would quit buying or quit wearing Gucci, either or? I mean, they're going to sell either way. But my whole thing is that black people, the majority of black people, buy these brands, you know, Tommy Hilfiger included when all that stuff was going on. You see black people buying, and I'm saying they buy it often. I mean, all these brands, and that's why I don't understand, as a company, how can you be so blinded to think that they wouldn't take offense to it? Why wouldn't they take offense to that? I mean, you think, you have, you know, black rappers and everything like that wearing your brand, but you insist on taking this through, you know, hands where you don't, I guess I would say where they don't understand where it would be coming from, because you can't, because they're not black. And I think that what Spike Lee said was true. Why don't you get a few, you know, black people in there to help you on a different type of level? Because, I mean, when you're talking about, you know, racism and different things like that, black and white, it's going to always come back to black and white. And wow, that's just the thing. Most, and I'm not saying, hey, I mean, I know it's a lot of sensitive black people out there for a reason, maybe, of course, but still, it could be absolutely nothing. But the history is always going to make things repeat itself. So with that being said, why not kill some of that and just cater to what pays you? And the majority of that is black people as well. How about you make that equal? I think that's the problem with the world today. Nobody wants to meet in the middle anywhere, but they all want to apologize, and they all want to say, well, why would they say that? Or they all want to say, well, why are they on the block saying this and that? Why? Because you're not looking at both sides. I mean, and that could go for black as well as white, white as well as black. You know, we can never come together unless people understand that there is a problem. I think everybody just wants to get paid. But don't you see there is a problem here? And I don't think anybody really truly understands that, you know, oh, well, it's Gucci. I mean, just because it's a black face, it don't mean it. But it does.
Yeah.
To black people, do we not mean anything then? Does our opinions not matter then? I don't really think that people are taking an in-depth look at it, and as you just said, is because, I mean, it doesn't affect them.
Right. And, you know, and that brings it to the point where, as black people, like T.I. was saying, that, you know, all black people need to come together and boycott them. And the problem is, you know, they, you know, as a group, they're, you know, T.I. was saying that the black people as a group, they'll do it for a minute, and then they'll stop and go back to buying the product again, like with the whole thing with the H&M issue where they had the little boy that had on the sweatshirt that said, like, the coolest monkey in the jungle or something like that. Do you remember that?
I heard a little bit. I didn't hear a lot about
that. Yeah, and, you know, they asked the mother about it, and she didn't see anything wrong with it, but, you know, they had a big thing in South Africa, and they went into the H&Ms and, like, you know, just destroyed a lot of stuff in there, and then weeks passed, people forgot about it, and they went back to buying the, their clothes and their products again. And,
right.
And a lot of people think, oh, it's not going to work, but that go back to, like, in the 1950s when they had the Montgomery bus boycott, where they were having the segregation on the public transit system where black people stopped using the bus because, you know, they were going up on the rates or it was something like that. And I don't know the whole history of it, but, you know, they started to walk, and they were walking like 6-10 miles a day. And these were elderly people, they were doing it too, but it got them on track to the point where they got what they wanted. And if everybody comes together and actually does it, they can fix the problem. It's just everybody being consistent, and consistent being a big word when it comes to the stuff like this. It's got to be the point where if everybody's doing what they're supposed to be doing, boycotting it and being consistent about it, they'll get their act together.
I agree. I do agree with that. And I think that that's also a problem when it comes to some blacks. I mean, we complain, we yell, we holler, why they treat us like this, why they do this, why they do that, and then we'll turn around and do nothing. We'll come together for a moment on social media. We'll say that again for the people in the back on the social media. And all the whole time, when it's time to really do something and for something, then it's nothing that's going on. And better yet, even if so, we end up arguing with each other. And see, and I think that's the problem. And I say this again. Black people have to stop being its own worst enemy. That is majority of the problem. You can't sit here and expect another race to look at you any other type of way if you're not going to change the way you act, period. And, I mean, it sounds crazy to me because, I mean, I'm black myself. And, I mean, I'm not proud of some things I've done. But I know one thing, they are going to treat you accordingly.
Right.
So if you're going to be on social media acting a fool, if you're going to be arguing, because I'm going to tell you what, Mike, I'm going to tell you one thing that I know for myself. In all the black communities, anything that happens, it's so vocal. Oh, well, this happened last week. Girl, did you hear this, 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 and this? But I can guarantee you, if anything happened in Beverly Hills, you will never, ever hear about it. And that's the biggest problem we have as people, is we down our people so much that it's become accepted to everyone else. How can you expect anyone else to treat you differently if you can't do it amongst yourselves?
Right.
I think that's the biggest problem with black, like the whole, like the Gucci thing, okay? You know, everybody's mad, yeah. Soulja Boy stop wearing a brand, yeah. Now, if he does go back to wearing it or whatever, or accept the apology or whatever, you know, they talk, they squash everything. And then, you know, here come the people again. Well, why did you do that? I mean, you're ignorant. N-I-G-G-A. I mean, why you do this? Why you do that? Why you do this? Why you do that? But at the end of the day, ain't it all about peace and serenity? Trying to find a solution instead of always keeping a problem going.
Yeah.
But then here we go again, against each other again. Oh, well, you this and you that. But they still then gonna go and buy his mixtape. I mean, you just can't have it every kind of way. And to me, that's the biggest problem when it comes to black people as a whole. And I say that being black, I mean, I'm not gonna lie. I mean, of course, we've all done stupid stuff, me included. But when you know better, you gotta do better at some point.
Absolutely, and, you know, I've heard
past,
and me being white male myself, you know, there's always that fine line, especially with me, that my history, I date black women, so race is always a topic of conversation at some point. I say
right.
At some point, but it's not an issue, it's just always a talking point because the world we live in, everything's black and white no matter what.
Right.
So I say that because, and I've, you know, and I've noticed that as black people, you know, they only make up, white people make up about 18% of the United States. That's a small percentage. White
right.
people's around between 63 and 65. That's humongous. If 18% all got together, they could make so much of a big dent into something to where things would change for the better, but not only for the better, but for the good and the consistency of it to where a lot of the stuff will eventually go away because that 18% is bigger than you think it is. So the women that I've dated in the past have told me that black people's biggest problem is them as a whole, as other black people. It's like if they could get everybody on the same accord, then things would change for the better, but it's just getting everybody doing the same thing at the right time.
I agree. I do agree with that, and I've said it 1,000 times. I mean, and, you know, at the same time, certain things don't make situations better. You know, I mean, I guess you could say it's like, you know, with black men dating white women or black women dating white men, you know, a black woman dating a white man, oh, and she's trying to act better than she is, I guess, and she thinks she did it. I mean, she said, why she dating that white boy, huh? But, I mean, at the end of the day, isn't about love. Or for the black man, oh, why he dating that, he got to be weak. He got to be weak to want some kind of woman like that. And don't get me wrong. I know a whole lot of those statements in a way to be true. And it's crazy, especially when it comes to black men and white women. I mean, I see a lot of it. I see a lot of where they could say, oh, well, I mean, she let him get away with murder. And you know, and I hate to say it, in some instances, that is true. I'm not saying all. You know, some white women don't go for that. But when it comes to that, they all, and I've heard, and I'm going off of experience, I've heard black men say, well, white women don't do that. You know, they ain't all wrong. They don't make you do this, and they don't make you do that. So you basically say you choose a weaker woman. It's almost an insult to a white woman, really, honestly, is because you're saying that they're not strong enough, so you can walk all over them, and they accept that. In a way, is what they're saying.
Yeah.
And you know, like I said, in a way, it is kind of an insult. And like I said, I see it. I see it for my own self. And it's not nothing I'm, oh, it's hearsay. No, I've seen it. I've seen how, you know, white women can be. I've seen how black men can be with white women. It's worse than the black woman with white men because you very rarely see that. For, I'm not sure for what reason. I guess maybe you could speak on that a little bit, considering, you know, you're a white man that is attracted to black women. So I don't know if you can let me in on a little bit of why that, you know, not as much.
Well, the thing of it is in my years of dating black women, I've heard so many different things. It could, you know, and the women that I've dated, a lot of them are consistent with the saying that they've dated black men, they're this, they're that, and I just got tired of it, so I decided to date outside of my race. So it's like, you're like, okay, this didn't work out, so I'll go to the next thing. You know, like you're the second choice. But, you know, you got to be that. You got to decide if you're that type of person. Are you the glasses half empty or the glasses half full? And I'm the glasses half full person. I always try to look at the positive side. But to be honest with you, and a lot of white men won't say this, but when black men, black women, and, you know, the big, because, you know, you hear it all the time, black love, people, a lot of black
right.
people celebrate black love because, you know, it's a powerful thing. And
right,
it's not as common as they want it to be, but to be honest with you, you know, a lot of people fight, like, for the example, for their kids, they say that you know, well, my child wants to date this Asian person or this Caucasian person, and the parents don't like it. And but there's always this back and forth to where they'll say, well, I want them to be happy. They should be able to choose what they want. But at the same time, in the world we live in the United States where everything's so racially charged, a person outside of your race, so say a black woman who's dating a white man, is never going to understand your struggle. Okay, they can be sympathetic to it. They can talk to you, try to, you know, help you deal with it.
Right.
But they're never going to be able to go, I understand how you feel, because you don't. And you never will. And you have to accept that as the person that you're dating, that you're never going to be able to understand that. And I heard something one day say, no matter what happens in a relationship, in an interracial relationship, the person that's not black will never understand how that person feels when something goes down that's racist, that's negative to them, or they've been called the N-word. And,
right.
You know, they'll never understand that. So I push, and it kind of contradicts me, because I kind of push for more black love, because I think it's more of an inspiring, you know, positive thing, to where if there's more of it, I think there's more of that consistently coming together to all around make decisions as a whole. You see what I'm saying? And I think, you know, I mean, so much. It's going to the point where if people wouldn't give up, or black people in this resistance wouldn't give up on, you know, dating in their race because they're fed up with, and it goes vice versa, black men and black women, they didn't give up so quickly, they find a way to make it work to where they can be more empowering as a whole.
Right. I agree with it.
And, you know, and I've, you know, like I said, I've dated black women, but this is what I get kind of the feedback, because I'm interested to know, you know, what makes you decide that. But, you just, that person's never going to understand your struggle, because they're not in the same shoes you are. And you've got to accept
right.
it. Because that conversation will happen several thousand times in the relationship, because there's always going to be an issue, because, again, we're in the United States and everything's always so racially charged, and then you
right.
see what we have in the White House. So, I mean, it's an everyday topic of conversation.
Correct. And I do agree with that, and I think that's why a lot of black women will say, well, how can this white woman be with him anyway? She don't fully understand it. And it goes back to that. I mean, they say, you know, only a black queen can take care of a black king. Oh, okay. I mean, and in a lot of instances, that may be true. I mean, that could be true. But at the same time, you love who you love. I'm not saying that there's not ulterior motives. Like I said, I've heard it. You know, I've heard black men say, well, I mean, they know, I don't date no black women. I mean, black women too complicated. I mean, they do too much. They make you do, so they basically, they're just trying to say that black women hold them to too many expectations. I guess basically they hold them to be a real man, a man you're supposed to be, the man you're going to stand beside as an equal. And, you know, I'm not saying that, like I said, all white women are like that. I'm not saying that. I think that, I'm not a white woman, so I can't speak from their point of view. But I'm going off of what I've known, what I've seen, what I've heard, you know, as you said before in the last podcast, sex rules everything, you know, for a most part. I mean, as they say on social media, you know, you could get away with a whole lot if you're doing this right, or if you're hitting that right, and if you're doing this right. But at the end of the day, should you be able to get away with using someone, or should I say doing whatever you want to do because you have good sex? Should you be able to come and go as you please because you have good sex? Be able to basically say, hey, girl, I'm with you because you white, and because you don't care, because you ain't going to do this, you going to take this from me because you have good sex? Is that really true? Is that how we should look at everything that we do? If you eating this right, hitting this right, doing this right, it's okay for you to say or do whatever you want to do? Because it wouldn't sit well with me. I mean, as a female, period, white, black, Asian, whatever you are, you're not going to tell me you're going to be with me just because I'm easy, is basically what you're saying. Because, you know, oh, well, I could be with a black woman, but I know she going to ask me and question me when I come into one of them.
Well,
I
don't think they're actually telling them that's why they're with them. I think it's more of a, like when black men date white women, I think it's easier for them because in my experience, and this is my own personal experience, I don't know about everybody else, but it's mine, black women that I've dated in the past, they don't take no shit. They're going to call you on your bullshit. They're going to make you stay up because they're very empowering women.
Mm-hmm.
This is the women I have dated in the past, and I might get a little flack for this, but you know, this is a podcast and this is what we do. But
right,
you know, the hardest job in the whole United States, in my opinion, is a single black mother, and the reason I say that is because A, being a woman in America, and then being a black woman in America who's single who has kids. I mean, you have to be mother, father at a lot of times, and on top of that, you got to deal with the racial bias and all this race issues and constant stereotypes, and it's just so much, and I've seen them push through, and it's a job that I don't even know how they do it sometimes, but those super women do it, and, you know, I applaud them for it, and I'm not saying about all the other mothers that are Asian, white, Hispanic,
right,
not the same thing, but they're not as scrutinized as women in America, and it's just something that needs to be shed a light on because it's not focused when it comes to how hard it is to be in that position. Now, a lot of the black men I know that date white women, they date them because, again, like you said, it's easier. They don't question them. They're not hard on them. They do, and I don't want to sound negative, but they kind of do what they're told.
Right. There you go.
The type of person that I am, I need a stronger woman. And I've met stronger women, white and Asian and Hispanic before. And I'm not saying that they don't do it, but I like the women that I have dated in the past because they, you know, we're men. We do stupid shit. And like I said before, one thing that my father always taught me was pussy makes you do stupid shit. And it does. And, you know, I was telling you in the last episode what I did about the first time I fell in love. You know, I was
quit
a job and all that stuff. And it makes you do that stuff because it's pretty powerful. So in my position, a white man dating a black woman, you know, I'm just, that's, it's just what I prefer. Not that I'm saying I may end up marrying a Hispanic woman, white woman, whatever, but as of right now, that's what I'm, you know, that's who I'm dating. But in this topic, I just feel that sometimes people date people because it's easier, it's more convenient, and they're not doing what they need to do as a whole for an entire group. And I think it's not right, but you know, it's a fine line. People are going to do what they want to do. They're going to do what makes them happy, and sometimes that's not always the best decision, but hey, we're in America, that's fucking important sometimes.
Yeah, that is true. And I hate to see it for the white and black relationship, especially with the black and white women, that it is true for, because I feel that the man suffers. I feel that the woman never truly learns how to love herself or how to receive love from a man, because a man that truly loves you, race anyway, color, any of that does not matter. When a man loves you, and I'm sorry, as many men as we have in this world that ain't shit, and we got plenty. It's a whole lot of them that no one ever hear about. Nobody talks about this behind the scenes that are great. Black, white, yellow, green, doesn't matter. And at the end of the day, if a man loves you, he shows it, period. It does not matter if you white. It does not matter if you black. that never matters. So for a woman to downplay her own self, you mean to tell me you're going to put yourself on the bottom of the totem pole the way women have been treated in this whole world as long as we have existed? You're going to lower yourself for a man that you can already see in your own eyes and hear with your own ears on what he does. And that's just the thing. When you're silent, you see everything. And that goes back to, I think, women. And that goes back to women and emotions. That's what it goes back to. A woman can be unhappy as hell, but as long as you're there and you exist and you're just there and you say you love her, and that is always enough. And it's sad. It's sad for offspring. It's sad for little girls growing up. It's sad for little boys growing up trying to look up to, is this the man I'm supposed to look up to? Is this how I find a woman? You know, am I looking for my mother in a woman? A woman that will accept anything? A woman that is not going to make, you know, my daddy accountable for maybe not being there, maybe not showing love how he's supposed to, not treating her the way she's supposed to? The kids suffer. We can't expect to have a greater youth, a greater future, when we have parents in situations like this that hurts a child, and they just don't understand how bad it does. It really and it truly does.
Yeah.
Because a child will only see an adapt environment that they are used to. And everything that they do, how they act, will always come from home first. And that's a fact. Yeah, the streets will get a hold to them. But when they come back to reassurance, it's going to come back to home.
Right.
And it's sad. I think that's what sad me most. If as a woman you want to be dogged, by all means, let him kill you, let him beat you, let him smack you, let him cuss you out. But if you have children, if for nothing else but for their sake, quit trying to stick around when you know it's not what's needed to be. Quit letting these kids see situations that are horrible. Black or white, it doesn't matter. If you're wrong, you're wrong. And I think that's what some women lose themselves in. Oh, I love him. Oh, I need love. Oh, I really need love. You need love? But from anybody? It just don't sound right. And it really makes me sad to see that.
You know, a lot of women are looking for acceptance, and sometimes they accept something, and in any relationship, you have to take a hit when it comes to things that you want, and it's just a lot of women accept things that they shouldn't accept because they don't want to be alone, and men do it too. It's just they want to be with somebody because they're scared to be alone, and I've always had somebody, so me being by myself freaks me out from time to time, but at the same time, it empowers you as a man or a woman because it teaches
right.
you how to do for yourself, I guess you could say. But, you know, those negative relationships, even though they're bad, they're also a good thing because you learn from them. You learn what to accept and not to accept. But, you know, I've said this before, you know, when it comes to race and people being the way they are with the Gucci situation, you know, all that stuff starts at home. You were taught
yep.
racism. You're taught all of that stuff from home.
Mm-hmm.
If that's the way you think or your outlook or how you place things in life, it's because of what you were taught as a kid and what you accepted as a teenager and what you implied in life as an adult.
Right. I agree with that, too. You're right. Racism is taught first in the home. And you know, while a lot, you know, imitate what they, you know, are brought up on, some people go astray, you know, and I hate the whole Gucci situation, you know. And, you know, I hate any racially charged situation because I feel it does not have to be. We all bleed the same. And, you know, if we could just come together and do what's right for all men and all women, then I really feel that this world itself would be better. And, I mean, if people would quit pointing fingers with she or he or they or and just love. You know, love conquers all. Stop the hate. You know, the racism is a hate thing. You know, I mean, like I said, like with the Gucci situation, it sucks that, like I said again, you know, get other faces in there. Get different people, you know, to get in there, and so you can see, so you can maybe learn something about a person that looks different than you do. You know, don't always do just what you've always done. You know, everybody talks about racism, this, and this is in any situation, especially racism. You can't expect different if you're going to do the same thing. If you're going to talk about the same thing 7 days a week, how are you going to expect anything different when you're going to keep speaking about the same thing? You have to change somewhere.
Well, that's what
it has to be a change.
Morgan Freeman was saying, a reporter was asking him, how do you stop racism in America? And his answer was, stop talking about it. Stop talking about it, it'll go away. I see his point, but I think there's so much more that you have to do, because it's been a part of the American culture for so long that it's like embedded into it.
Right.
I just think black people have to, and I know you're saying that, you know, everybody has to kind of, you know, get together as a whole, all races, but I think black people have to get together as a race and fight it without anybody else, because it's what's making them, you know, feel uncomfortable, the crap that they have to deal with, but they have to come out with the, I love everybody. Yeah, I get you love everybody, but you got to do everything what's best for black people and everybody as a whole, because to stop the racism, you're going to have to fight back, and sometimes, you know, you have to go by what Malcolm X said, by any means necessary. And I know nobody wants violence or anything like that, but it may take to the point where you have to have some for everybody to get on board when it comes to getting rid of it, getting rid of complete racism. It's becoming American culture. It's how America started. And to take something away as a whole like that, it's going to take something pretty powerful. And it's going to take everyone to get together and just basically do whatever they need to do, even if it's drastic, to get rid of it.
And I mean, yeah, I agree with that, and that goes back to what I said earlier. But they have to mean what they say and say what they mean. They have to want to come together for a cause that can really change everything. And we have to do that together, though. We can, like I said, we can come together, and then when we get there, then we get to arguing and bickering against each other. We have to make it stick. We, like I said, we can't say what we're going to do and then we do nothing about it.
Well, and I say that because you take a situation where white people as a whole take two steps, and then you go into the situation with the Jesse Smollett, the guy from the Empire.
Yeah.
You go through that. How he was, you know, jumped and beaten by a couple of MAGA supporters and, you know, saying racial stuff to him. They put a noose around his neck. And then it comes to find out with the evidence. Now, the whole investigation is completely done, but from what the evidence showing, that he staged it. And when you do stuff like that, I think that brings him, as a black people, as a back, just three steps to where it's like, all right,
it's true,
we're back where we were and probably even farther. And then you get the R. Kelly situation going through. All this happening all through the month of February, which is Black History Month. So it's like digging the dagger into you more and more, and it's like it's making it worse and worse.
But I don't think the R. Kelly is as bad as that. Let me explain something. R. Kelly has been R. Kelly for 100,000 years. All this stuff that's coming about right now probably has to do with other things that's been reached out, and then they talk, jumped on R. Kelly, and then bam, here he is. Let me say something. What he did was wrong. It could have been my daughter's, but what he did was wrong nevertheless. But this man been 12 playing for 100 years, and the fact that they want to bring that out now is pure bullshit, period. And what Jesse did, he know better. Now, that does set us back. This R. Kelly stuff like this and how they want to break this stuff out in 2019 is crazy as hell. And I'll say to anybody, if anybody go quit listening to 12 Play, nope. If anybody go quit buying the CD, nope. I mean, the bottom line is what they did was allow this man to be who he has been. So don't try to batter him and break him out now. As you know what he did then, what was wrong. It sure the hell was. But where was y'all in 1998? 2001? 2005? What made y'all start this shit now? That's really what makes me mad. And see, that's what I'm saying. Goes right back to color again. Because as they was talking about, I mean, you know how many white people, actors, or singers, whatever, done did this and that? But is it ever brought to light? That's because, I'm telling you, black folks as a whole don't want to stick together. They don't want to. A white man can sit right beside you and do the same thing R. Kelly did, and it will never be brought to light. Ever. Ever. But because he R. Kelly, and because he black, and because of what he did 1,000 years ago, of course he probably continued to do it. But did anybody say anything? Yeah, sure. Well, we all know he pee on people. Who cared? But now everybody do. I find that so amusing. I mean, the Jussie Smollett situation is ridiculous. R. Kelly situation may be likewise. But the situation about it, I mean, come on. You mean to tell me you let him terrorize and do all this stuff to all these women all these years, and you just now getting to punish him just now? Now tell me something ain't messed up about that. You think that's okay?
No. And, you know, and the crazy thing is they just brought up a tape from back in the 90s that they're putting into evidence that they claim that he's been hiding. So the tape that they're using to convict him on these 10 felony counts is from the 90s. Which, again, supports what you're claiming. And it's just, I don't know. It's wrong at the same time, but this has been going on for so long.
Yeah, it has. I mean, and when I first heard about it, I'm like, really? I mean, don't get me wrong. I love R. Kelly music. I mean, if he's wrong for what he did, sure. But like I said, no one wanted to do nothing about it. Everybody turned a blind eye to it all in years. So, hey, who am I? You know, I mean, and like I said again, that's the problem today, man. I think it'll continue to be a problem until somebody wants to do something different, man. I mean, until we bring about change, when this stuff is going to be the same, until somebody wants to do something other than what we do on a daily. Because if they wanted to bring about a change, it would have been when this tape that he hid all them years ago would have been found or brought up, or something would have been said by somebody's parents. Like it should have been. But what they do, they got paid. And it goes again, the goddamn money make the world go around.
Exactly.
Period. And it's sad, but it's true. Sex and money, money is sex. And tell me I'm not wrong. That's what it is.
It is. And that's just kind of the way it is. You pay somebody enough money, they'll be quiet.
And it's awful. It really is awful. And when it comes to when it's time for the shoe to be on your foot, it really sucks. Because you're like, well, darn, you know, this, and this. Oh, okay, well, yeah. But when the shoe was on my foot, it did not hurt as much, did it? It never does.
I know. And, you know, and while we're talking about this, I've got to bring up the Colin Kaepernick issue. You know, with the kneeling and everything, and they finally, and I'm skeptical about this too, they've come to an agreement with Colin Kaepernick that they're not talking about. And it's a financial agreement, So they cut him a check, basically for him to stop campaigning against them. And his lawyer saying he's going to be on the team in the next few months or so. Patriots, Panthers, something like that. Now, where they came up with this, I don't know. But I'm curious to know if he does get on the team, is he going to be supporting the NFL? And I just really think that if he does, I think it's more of a sellout thing. And I don't know if that's going to happen. I really hope it doesn't. But I'm really hoping I don't see what I think is going on in my head. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and I hope not either. I mean, because he believed in some men, and money shouldn't change that. You know, I say that because money does change a lot. But Colin Kaepernick has been rich. So with that being said, whatever they got paid out for shouldn't stop him from what he believed in.
No.
I mean, that's your passion.
I know it had to come some kind of agreement. He can't. I don't know about the kneeling thing once he starts playing, if he's still going to do it. I mean, I'm curious to see what he's going to do, because if he stops kneeling, I really think they paid him off to stop doing it. I mean,
that very well could have been. You probably are right. I mean, if anything does change, it could be the money, and it will forever be the root to all evil. I mean, because that man strongly believed in something for a very, very long time. You know, he's got, you know, all kind of publicity off of that. And for you to switch up. Right. Plenty of endorsements off of it. And for you to stop that now would look suspect. You know, and I hate that money can change things. It is sad truth that it just can.
But what I love so much about it is when Nike unveiled that he was like their new, golden child, you know, a lot of people were boycotting Nike and burning. You saw when they were burning their clothes.
Oh, I seen
stuff. But their stock market showed to be otherwise. Their stocks went up, started making more money off of this. And that just shows you how much 18% impacts this United States.
18%. Right.
That's incredible. And
yeah,
you can impact like that,
right.
Take some of that positivity and use it for that boycott Gucci or Prada. I think Burberry had another issue just recently. Take it. Use it like they did the Montgomery boycott. Stop doing it. Wear something else. Show them that you're not going to take this anymore. And I promise you, you're going to reap the benefits because these owners and these money-hungry people will finally get the image of, okay, we need to start paying attention to what we're doing and stop being selfish and inconsiderate and culturally insensitive.
Right. That's true. That's what I said. I mean, with the Soulja Boy, I hope he didn't take the clothes. But if he did, you know, accept the apology. I mean, you know, maybe he feels that it could be dead. I mean, again, if he just kept on wearing Fendi, I mean, hey, Fendi going to go up as well. But if that's what he chooses to do, you know, that's what it is. It sucks, but it happens. I just hope that in the coming years or, you know, the longer we stay on this earth, that some things can come together and, you know, for the better or good and not always for the bad or for money or for, you know, social acceptance, or just for the good of all people.
Right.
Not for no other automotive, not for no other thing, you know, to make me look good. You see what I did? That was me. I mean, just to be good how it's supposed to be, how God wants to be. You know what I'm saying? Not how to do it because of money or, hey, I got 50 G's out of that. You know I was going to go if I was going to do it. No, just do it because it's right. I think that's why a lot of people end up in a lot of stuff that they are right now, because they just won't do what's right. Just do what's right. My mom used to always tell me that instead of doing what you know you ain't supposed to do, child, just do what's right. And that goes for everybody, man. I feel that now that I'm grown and that I know better. It's okay to just do what's right sometimes. You reap benefits from that also.
I know, but you take the incidents with Gucci here, and if they say, okay, we want you to start wearing Gucci, and you're like, no, I believe in this. This is something we're boycotting. All right, well, I'm gonna cut you a check for $250,000 you can cash right now. All you gotta do is stop talking about it and wear a headband or a jacket or something from every now and then. Would you do it?
Would I do it?
$250,000 right now, no questions asked.
If I mean right now in the situation, if I'm in the situation I am in right now, I'm not gonna lie and say that I might not take that. I'm not going to say that.
I know, and that's my point. I mean, people nowadays, things cost so much money. People are living paycheck to paycheck. And turning down a lump sum is something that it's, man, if you can do it.
Yeah, but you're talking about me, though, not someone
I'm
that's already
about
rich.
In general. I'm just asking you because we're talking. I'm just saying that's where a lot of people are accepting this money because they're in dire straits where they need money or they're living paycheck to paycheck or they're just so money hungry to the point where they spend so much that they have to kind of make up for it. So when someone wants to cut them a big check, it's hard for them to say, no, unless you just have money yourself, it's difficult.
Well, yeah, right. I mean, if you're rich and you're a made person, then, I mean, yeah, I mean, $250,000 changes a regular person like you and I, our life. I mean, so, you know, even if you may not agree, I mean, it sucks. But, you know, at the same time, $250,000 is still $250,000. I mean, it hurts that you kind of have to do that in a way. But, I mean, hell, if you just throw it on the thing and say, oh, yeah, sure, I believe it, and then you still know, and I'm guessing some people feel like, okay, well, just pay me. I don't give a damn about the TV. You can take it off and then throw it on the street. As long as you get your money and then, you know, hey, it's right back to the same. I mean, it sucks, but I guess that's just the reality of the world.
And a lot of these big companies know that. Now they know they have to cut a check, everything will go away.
Yeah, that's true. It's true. It's sad, but it's true. And that's why I said, hopefully in the near future, you know, it can all change. That's all we can really pray for. Is it all the negativity, and maybe it can start with us, you know, trying to make changes, and hopefully everybody can follow a good example instead of following all the bullshit that we follow in everyday life.
That I know. Man, today's been kind of an intense episode and kind of hits home for, seems like, the both of us. And it's, you know, it's good because we can get on here and actually kind of talk it out and see two people's point of view and just basically see how the world is and from two different sides. And the great thing is hopefully people listening to this podcast will give us a little more feedback and let us know their sides, if they agree with us, if they disagree with us, you know, let us know because we're always open for feedback because I love hearing other people's point of view because there's always something that I may have left out or you left out and something that may shed a little light. And it's always good to, you know, teach yourself to be more tolerant to other races. And right now, you know, this is the time to do it. So,
you're right.
This conversation because, you know, it feels good to talk about it, kind of get out stuff that everybody's thinking, what I'm thinking, what you're thinking. But, again, I want to thank anybody that's been listening to this podcast. This is our second podcast, and, you know, it's just going to get better and better. Scruggs, is, you know, a real good person to talk to. I love talking to her, and that's why we've been friends for so long. So,
yeah, that's very true. That's very true. We have been friends a long time, and that is why, because we can both openly talk, and it's a pleasure as well to work with him, you know, on this podcast as well, because, you know, we get insights from each other, and like he said, you guys feel free to tell us anything y'all need. You know, we have an Instagram page as well. You can leave messages or, you know, once you listen to us, just let us know. And if it's anything you all would like to talk about, just get at us, you know, and we'll go from there. So
all right,
I just wanted to let y'all know that too.
Exactly. And thanks again, everybody. We'll see you on episode 3. Look forward here soon. And thanks for listening.
Thanks, guys.